Shabbat Shalom. No, I'm good. I'm not that tall. You can leave it there and I would be just fine. All right. Don't think me morbid, but some of my most vivid memories of sitting Shiva with my family are all about the food. We ate chocolate-covered potato chips at my Zadie Shiva. I was in sixth grade. I still remember the taste of those chocolate-covered potato chips. At my Nana Shiva, we found in her freezer peanut butter-wrapped chocolate-dipped cherries that she had made. So we ate those for her Shiva. For my grandfather, somebody brought fried chicken. And for my father, we had delicious baked goods from my most favorite bakery, Zingerman's, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you know Zingerman's, right? It's amazing. Each of these experiences is seared in my mind with the powerful senses of smell and taste. I'll go so far as to say I probably overindulged. Fried chicken and Zingerman's, it's so good. Falling into the trap of gaining weight while grieving. It's not uncommon to either gain weight or lose weight after a loss. Things tend to fall into an extreme as we try to process our emotions and make sense of a world so out of order. The Torah provides interesting insight into the grieving process. This week we read from Parshat Shmini. The Parsha begins with the words, on the eighth day. It's after the priests have been installed, and it picks up with the narrative of creating holy leadership among Aaron and his sons, who, unfortunately, two of them, make a giant mistake. They are intoxicated, as the text tells us, and they make an offering without the appropriate directions or intentions, and they end up losing their lives. Following this tragic story are the laws for making time holy with sacrifices, laws for making our bodies holy with the laws of kashrut. What stands out in this text are the reactions to the death of Aaron's sons. Aaron is silent. Though immediately following his silence, we read about the rule to drink no wine in chapter 10, verse 9. On the surface, you'd think that this prohibition has everything to do with the fact that Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's sons, were intoxicated when they broke the rules and ultimately lost their lives. However, according to Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman, a modern commentator, this resulted not from what Nadav and Avihu did, but from the fear that bereaved relatives would drown their sorrows in intoxicants and not be fit to carry on their responsibilities. The Torah recognizes the very human reaction to loss or tragedy in overindulging in our vices, whether it's substance-specified wine or chocolate cake. The Torah reminds us to find the balance. Furthermore, Simcha Bunim, an 18th century Hasidic leader in Poland, reminds us that while wine cheers the heart, the Kohanim, the priests, were to avoid it. When we come before God, our joy should be from serving God without the use of any external stimulants. Joy and sorrow are deep-rooted human emotions. And emotional changes cause us to behave differently in certain situations. As difficult as it can be to deal with emotional highs and lows, Parshat Shmini encourages us to embrace and experience our emotions rather than to try and mask them with food or beverages or other substances. the best coping mechanism we have is actually living these moments fully and allowing ourselves to learn and grow as the result of where we are, who we are, and what we've experienced. We live in a world where it seems every day is throwing at us some new experience, some new tragedy, some new sorrow, or some new joy. And studies show that we're in a time where more people than ever are indulging in their emotions in ways that are unhealthy. Parshat Shmini comes to remind us that we have a breaking point, that to serve God, to do what is right, to serve one another, we have to do it with a not cheerful heart, but a clear heart and a clear mind, and be fully present with those who are here with us in this moment. Shabbat Shalom.